This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
To start today's show, I'm delighted to welcome our first guest, Eleanor Ramona. Welcome to the show, Eleanor.
Hello, thank you.
Perhaps you could start by telling us a little about your background and how you came from Greece to over here and everything that happened.
So I was brought up on the Greek island of Skiathos, Mamma Mia, if you guys know that
Yes. Yeah.
And I came to the UK when I was about 10 years old to attend boarding school. And ever since I was a child, I've always wanted to do music. I've always been quite musical. No one in my family was very musical. They were mostly sporty, so I don't know where I've gotten this one from. but I've always enjoyed, I've always been in the school plays, enjoyed that kind of thing. I mean, I wasn't singing and dancing, you know, at the age of, say, 5, but it was just something that I had an interest in. And the only thing that would calm me down was animals or music.
Animals or music.
Child. And then I came to the UK, was classically trained to start off with. Didn't enjoy that as much, more enjoyed the sort of pop side of things and rap, funnily enough. Eminem was like my favourite when I was younger. And yeah, here I am at the ACM after leaving school. I came to Guildford in 2008 and went to the ACM, the Academy of Contemporary Music, where I studied contemporary music, which was really fun. I really enjoyed it. And I'm still living in the Surrey area, promoting and making and enjoying my music.
So just going back to your sort of childhood, when you said you're always musical, was that singing? Was that, did you pick up an instrument and have a kind of a feel for it, or what was it?
It was first of all, it was piano lessons. Yeah. And then I enjoyed more the songwriting side of things.
Okay.
So melodies, like vocal melodies and things like that. So I enjoyed writing songs. I mean, the songs I wrote as a child probably would never be aired ever. They're a bit silly, but the actual melodies behind them, I was always told they were quite clever. Oh, you know, did you make that melody up? You know, that kind of thing. So it kind of sparked from that. And I wasn't like forced into it or anything like that. It's just something I really wanted to do. Like, my parents were always like, do what makes you happy. Do what you want to do. Whatever that is, we'll support you. Like I said, my brother, he's in Greece at the moment, and he's very sporty. He's the complete opposite of me. And we were supported the same way. So we both came to school in the UK. Mum's English.
Oh, okay.
Which is where the accent comes from. And Dad was Greek. So they wanted our best interests, and they wanted us to experience both worlds and choose where we wanted to end up, which was, I was really happy about that.
So the piano lessons, was that something that started in Greece? Or?
Yeah. So okay. It was one of my old teachers actually that taught me for a bit. And I enjoyed it, but I enjoyed the singing side of it more.
Okay. Yeah, because piano lessons are one of those things that sometimes children are kind of told, you will learn piano, you will learn clarinet, you know.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was more, I wanted to learn. My family obviously saw that there was a musical sort of interest there, and they were like, why don't you actually learn an instrument to support what you're doing, which has definitely helped. I don't play piano very much anymore, but if I was played a song, I could most probably figure it out for you. But I focus more on the sort of creative side of the vocals and the melodies. And the songs that I write, I write with a producer. I write them, and he sort of makes them come to life and makes them sort of bloom out of my ideas, which is it's a great way to work. You know, the production, one of the production students who was at ACM, he's now graduated. He's with me at the moment, helping me write what I do and stuff.
So how do you actually translate those ideas? If you're not, I mean, to me, not being very musical, I would think of, you know, putting something on the piano and then translating it from there. I mean, how does that communication happen between you and your producer?
So I have a little MIDI keyboard player, and I also have my voice. So if I can't figure it out on the keyboard, I'm like, okay, right, I'll sing it to you. So all the instrumentals I'll sing, and then I'll send them to him, and he'll be like, oh, right, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Or I'll play them on the keyboard and send him, like, stems they're called, little snippets of what I want, and then we'll go from there,
work it out.
So a lot of the time the ideas come to me random times, in the shower, when I'm walking, you know, when I'm not by computer or by my phone, you know, the really inconvenient times to happen, but I sort of make do and get them down as quickly as possible and then send them on.
Because the wonderful thing, of course, having the technology in our pockets is that you can be, well, probably not so much in the shower, but certainly taking a walk.
Well, exactly, absolutely. It's really, really easy now to do all of that, which is, again, I'm very grateful for that. It's easy to do it.
And do you think your sort of style has evolved over the years?
Absolutely, yeah. So, actually, Brooklyn's Radio was the first radio I came on to.
Oh, was it?
Back in 2013, my first single, Rise, was played here, and myself and a keyboard player, we actually came and performed it And so it's nice to be back because a lot has changed since then.
Yes.
Which is cool. It's really cool to be back and to be chatting about my new stuff and the latest song, Soul Sing, which I think you guys will be hearing soon. It's very different to my first stuff. So if you are listening today and you do enjoy sort of pop, electro, but with a sort of very real element to it, please do check me out on Twitter, Facebook, all the above. Elena Ramona, E-L-E-N-A Ramona, music. And you'll find me on all those platforms.
So how's it evolved then over the years? You said this is sort of more solely of, you know, what are the influences?
It's more electro. It's more commercial. I mean, I've just found the sound that I think is me.
Yeah, okay.
So the first song I performed here, Rise, that was kind of like a starting point to say I'm here. And this is now sort of continued in a very positive way, and the feedback that I've got so far over the years has been very helpful. Some constructive criticism as well, which has always helped. I enjoy that, to be honest, because I'm never going to grow without that. And my vocals, I believe, have improved quite a lot because I'm more confident. I'm older. You know, the older version of me who's not as afraid and not as worried about what people think. If I'm happy with the track, I will release that track.
And are you still receiving tuition then?
No.
As well? No.
No. No. No.
So you work at the ACM now?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I was a bit confused earlier because you graduated from there in 2013.
Yeah.
But now you work there.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because I was going to ask you what you do kind of as a day job, because, you know, presumably you're still, you know, establishing yourself. Obviously,
Absolutely,
your profile is growing, but you're presumably, you know...
I've got a plan B.
Yeah, yeah.
Plan B to pay the bills.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you're working at the ACM.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you do there?
So I'm an applicant advisor, and sort of we do events as well, so I help with the events side of things as well. And it's really nice because when I came to ACM, I had a tour around and I had all of that, but it wasn't so focused on me as a student coming in. And now there's a whole team that is solely focusing on these students coming in. And for me, having been a student at ACM and having been that person that comes through those doors and goes, oh my God, what is going on? It's nice to be able to help those people. And I've actually made quite a few friends in the students by being that person to help them. And, you know, I make sure that they're okay. You know, their parents are like, how are they doing? And it's just nice for me to have that sort of, that connection with ACM still, because I kind of, after I left ACM, I worked in retail for a bit and it was nice, but it wasn't what I wanted to do forever. It was really good for people skills and to realise what I didn't want to do. But now this is a career path and this is something that I really enjoy doing. I go into work not really feeling like I'm at work, which is nice. So, yeah.
That's a complete joy, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So I was sort of thinking about how you kind of promote yourself, you know, because you've been on here on, you know, Brooklyn's Radio. I think you've been on ITV's This Morning. Have you got a promoter, or how do you do all that?
Hello, it's me.
That's me.
So most evenings I research how I can push my music forward, whether that be emailing people or reaching people on Facebook, and I just kind of go for it. And at the moment I'm looking for someone to join that team with me, a management team, to help me bridge that gap between local radio and local shows and international and national. Because again, it is that bridge between that and me now. I'm kind of need a middleman.
But you have done things like BBC Introducing, haven't you? Which is a wonderful platform.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So how did that all work?
I uploaded the songs on the main uploader for them, and BBC, have been very, very supportive. So if you guys are listening, thank you very much. I mean, even you guys, I mean, everyone...
Who?
They've been very, I mean, everyone's been very supportive so far. So, you know, you guys, everyone who's had me on their show, Radio Woking, you know, from the local shows to BBC Introducing, you know, I treat them all as equal platforms and all as really positive things to be happening to me right now in this part of my career. And I think what would be great to have on my team is a manager who can do that for me all the time. So when I'm at work, they can be doing what I can't do when I'm at work, and that is finding platforms and gigs and things like that, because I only have so much time in the day. I make sure that I manage that time, but again, it would be nice to have someone else. And I think that's the next step really now.
I was going to ask how I know nothing about it, how realistic sort of is that in terms of, you know, finding someone who will do that while you're at work? You know, would it be someone who is sort of promoting other people as well?
Normally, yes. So it would be a case of finding the right person, finding someone who's not going to screw me over as well. That would be a main factor for me.
Just sort of talk there a little bit about the band. You've got a band, or you've got sort of on-off band. What's the situation?
So part of my band are students at ACM.
Okay.
And the other part of us are alumni. So at the moment, we're going through a bit of a transition. So we're still doing gigs, but we're sort of transitioning, so I'm getting new people in as we speak to sort of almost take the place of those people who are going.
And what does the band sort of comprise of? What have you got, drummer?
Yeah, so...
someone on bass?
Yeah, so at the moment we're looking for a bassist and a keys player.
Okay.
And two backing vocalists we're looking for as well. And we've got drums and guitar who are staying in the band, and then myself, obviously.
So you're at the front singing, you're not playing any instruments, you're...
No. I'm focusing on the singing. And the songs that, obviously, the songs that I'm making at the moment are very electro, very, very commercial, and that sound, we reenact it on stage. But we can also do a bit more of a rocky sound, and we can also do an acoustic sound. So I sort of split the team in half, and half of us go do an acoustic gig. So it's nice to be versatile. It's nice to be able to get as many gigs as possible as a band and as an acoustic trio.
Do you do any kind of dancing with it, or are you not really
me,
that kind of performer?
On the stage? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll get into it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I try and make sure that I'm having fun when I'm doing it. And I mean, I do have fun when I do it, because it's my story that I'm telling people, which is really incredible. And I'm, again, keep saying it, I'm really grateful to be able to do that and be able to do what I love doing all the time.
Fantastic. So that brings you, so your, the subject matter for your songs is very personal then, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. a lot of my songs are about things that have happened to me, or things that I know people will relate to, and also things that are quite current at the moment, like mental health, things that I've struggled with most of my life, all my life. And I'm very happy to be open about that. I'm very happy to speak to people about that and reach out to people within my music. There's one track that I've released called Neon Lights, and that was about mental health and the electrons in the brain sparking positivity and things like that. So again, if you are interested in that sort of thing, please do check me out on my socials. And the next one of the songs that you guys are going to be playing, Electric Love, that's again about the unconditional feeling of love and the unconditional feeling of being in love and happy. And it's just a happy, positive message that I want to present to people, I guess. There's a couple of songs in the pipeline that are a little bit more deep and a little bit more meaningful, but the majority of my tracks are very positive, and there is a positive message within those, and it is open to interpretation as well. So I don't really speak about something in particular. I always try and keep it open for the listeners to go, oh, I can relate to that. Oh, that's happened to me, or that's happened to someone I know. Do you know what I mean? So I try and keep it open to people, and keep it light and fun, because I like having fun doing my music, write my music, and I like enjoying people's reaction to it and seeing people enjoying it themselves. I mean, if one person comes to me and says, that song that you wrote helped me through a hard time, I've made it in my eyes. You know, that's me done. You know, I'm really happy with that. I don't need to be in Wembley to say I've made it. I'm, as far as I'm concerned, I've made it already, because I'm doing what I love doing and I'm having a great time on the journey.
And so your musical influences and the sort of things you're listening to yourself now?
Well, there's a lot of different ones. So the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, the Spice Girls, Beyonce, Eminem. So there's a lot of variety. So in the car on the way to school, my parents would listen to Led Zeppelin and the Beatles, and Yellow Submarine was always on. So there was that, there's an old school influence within my songs. There's a bit of an 80s vibe there as well, like with the synths and stuff. I try and keep it old school, try and keep it quite pure and true to me and my influences. Funnily enough, I have no Greek influences. The majority are British or American influences. As a child, I was always listening to British bands mostly.
So no Demis Roussos.
I was just going to ask.
It's a bit heavy.
What is Greek? I can't even sort of say what Greek music is like.
No, that's it.
A lot of it, I mean, a lot of people enjoy sort of the melodies and the way that they're written, but a lot of the lyrics, because this is what I normally focus on, it's a lot of, you know, it's not as positive as, let's say, a pop song in the UK. It's a lot about love. It's about feeling betrayed and da da da. It's very passionate. We're passionate people, so we portray that in whatever we do. So again, in our songs, we kind of go a little bit out, and I enjoy a little bit more of a lighter approach to my stuff, because, you know, it is open to interpretation, and it, you know, I'd like to hope that somebody does get inspired, or somebody does enjoy that and go, oh yeah, you know. And if I'm singing about love all the time, I mean, in a bad way, love is a good thing. It's a positive thing. It's a beautiful thing, and I wanted to show that in what I do.
Absolutely. And so what about festivals, and you've done some of those in the past?
Yeah, so I've done Always the Sun in Guildford, which was, I guess, Guildfest's replacement for a bit.
Oh right, okay.
Loudfest. Loudfest as well. I've done that one, and that was really cool, actually. That was probably the biggest festival I've done so far. I'm planning on being on the women's stage, actually, funny enough, at Pride in London this year, so I'm waiting for that. So fingers crossed they give me the details for that, but I have been confirmed something for that, which is really exciting.
So what would be a typical sort of, how long would you be on for on those kind of events?
Half an hour to 45 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a bit of talking as well included.
I was going to say, do you sort of talk much?
I try to keep the talking minimal. It's a bit hard because I like to talk. But I try and, like, tell people who I am and sort of, you know, engage with people. I mean, I enjoy engaging with people. I enjoy doing that. So, you know, it's the whole balance between engaging and actually giving them what they're there for, which is the music.
It's quite a thing, though. I mean, you know, we come in here, we do the radio, we, you know, we're in the studio, no one's looking at us. You're on the stage, you're talking to an audience of how many? People are staring at you.
People are looking, yeah. People want to show. That's what they're there. And if you sort of lose it, they will lose it too. The energy has to be 100% all the time.
Yeah.
And it is great fun. When before I go on stage, I'm a bit nervous. I get a bit anxious. But when I'm on stage, I'm like, this is it. I'm done. I'm here. But it was nice to be a little bit anxious because it means you care and it means that the adrenaline will push you to have a good time and a positive performance instead of just going, yeah, I can do this, and then doing a really wrong note and going, oh, can't take that back now. I've always got to be on, you know, I've always got to plan and be on the ball as well.
I was going
to
say, are you planning what you're saying between the tracks or is it just...
I mean, when we have the set list, we put it on the floor. The band will see what's going on at all times, and then say if there's a song that's like, this was my song and I wrote this because of this, and I'll try and incorporate little bits, but for the majority, I'll just make sure that it's the music that's playing. And it all depends again on the vibe. So if it's a festival and if we're playing like 8 o'clock at night, let's say, people are a bit merry, people just want to hear music, they just want to have a good time, they don't want to hear me going
sure.
but if it's, again, if it's an afternoon gig and it's a bit more chill, there's children about, it's a different vibe, so there is a bit more of an opportunity to go, hey everyone, how you doing, how's your weekend or whatever. I just kind of read the situation a little bit and just kind of go with the flow.
You've got to read it right.
Exactly.
So I saw on one of your YouTube clips from a while ago, probably when you were, you know, new to all of this, that at that stage you were mentoring some students from your old school. Do you still do that?
I do, yes.
Do you?
Yes. So I'm actually going back there very soon. At the end of June, I'm going back to a careers event as an ACM member of staff, but also as a musician and an alumni to the school as well. So it's all, you know, going on there. You know, it was nice to go back and sort of, you know, speak to the kids that, again, were in my position at one point. And when I was at that school, we didn't have those careers events, we didn't have a careers team, we didn't really know what we were doing. It was just kind of go. So it is nice to go back and go, hey guys, this is how you do it. And it's a realistic approach to it as well. It's not you become famous overnight. It's this is the struggle, this is the journey, this is what will happen, and this is how you overcome that. And a lot of times I speak openly, again, like I said, about anxiety and mental health and stuff and how to cope with that and how to deal with it as a musician and as a creative, because we do come with that part of being creative is you get anxious and
get the highs and lows.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, I don't know if this is a dirty word, but X Factor or similar types of shows.
Okay.
Appeal to you, something like that, or
exposure? Yes.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go in to win. I would go to gain exposure and promote myself.
Yeah.
As a musician, as a singer-songwriter, X Factor would probably be the only show I would go on, as they're looking for they're looking for originals more now. The Voice, I feel I'm not a belter. I don't sing like, you know, Mariah Carey or Jessie J. I'm not that sort of singer, and I feel like they're looking for the belters. They're looking for the powerhouses.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of those shows are people singing other people's songs. And for me, I'm going to do it the old school way. I'm going to do it, you know, the realistic way and have those goals. And if something like that comes along and the opportunity comes, I would go in to gain exposure, to gain a bit of momentum, to network with other musicians who are on the show, things like that. But I would always have a very realistic approach to it. I wouldn't go, oh, I'm going to win, that's it, you know, quit my job and see you later. I would make sure that I had a plan B. I'd make sure that I had a structured plan in order to go forward.
Well, that's all gone very quickly, Eleanor. So it just remains to ask if you have any particular advice for listeners who are aspiring musicians.
Do your thing. Keep doing it. Do your thing. Keep doing it. And don't get distracted by other people in the other lanes. Just keep doing you. You might have a few moments where you fall over and whatever, but just keep doing your thing. And if anyone is looking to start out and you want to reach out to me, please do. And I'm more than happy to let you know how I've started. And if I can help you in any way, I'm more than happy to.
That's fantastic. And how would they get in touch with you? What's the best way of them?
I would say on my Facebook. So Elena Ramona Music, Elena Ramona Music. Just type that into Facebook. Hopefully I'm the only one. And just message me. I'll reply to your message straight away. I'm always on my phone. I'm one of them. And yeah, just let me know if you need anything or if you just wanted to chat about yourself or send me some music, and I'll give you some feedback and give you some pointers and realistic pointers of how to move forward and how to gain momentum in a way.
That's very wonderful. So aspiring musicians can actually send you a clip of what they're up to.
Absolutely.
And help them do that.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I'm more than happy to.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, Eleanor.
No problem.
It's been really interesting talking with you. That was musician-singer Eleanor Ramona.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.